It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 356. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. With three BYU Cougars in the NFL playoffs, we talk a lot in this episode about the two championship games leading to the Super Bowl. Also on this week's show, a bad year for Dave Rose and the best overtime system for football. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout and listen to Matt and I right now. Matt, let's start with the tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
This is from Zachary Thornton on Twitter. That's at Coronado Zach on Twitter. You can tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. He says, who between the two of you came up with hashtag tweet bag, and why does Adam climb in? Okay. Two things. First off, I think you came up with the term tweetbag. I'm not entirely sure.
I believe
sure.
That's true. I think early on I actually called you a tweetbag as a derogatory term.
That is definitely true. I don't climb on in. Matt climbs on
yes,
in.
Yes, you do. Everyone climbs on in because there's no other way to get into a bag of this size.
The climb.
It's like the potato hop, the potato sack race. The potato hop.
The potato hop.
I just say. Do the potato hop. Hey. It's like a potato sack race. You get in, like you have to climb in. The tweet bag has to fit all these wonderful tweets in it.
Yeah, I have nothing
to
do.
It's large.
I have nothing.
We all get in the tweet bag together and discuss things.
We get in the tweet bag together. Huh. As Dr. Nick has said, he's never climbing into any tweet bag. And neither will I. Okay, so Zach, I hope we clarified. Matt came up with the word tweet bag. Matt also came up with the phrase climb on in, and it's disturbing to many of us.
I'm on in.
Oh gosh. Now you're gonna...
creepy whispers.
He's got the creepy whispers. All right.
Creepy whispers. I've got, you know, Darwin, who's tweet bagged at us a couple times. He will sometimes text me on unrelated matters and end his text with hashtag creepy whispers.
Nice. Good job, buddy. Tim Jacobson sent us an email. And if you want to send us an email, you can do it at BY. No, that's not right.
That's not correct.
RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. One word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a tweet back question. You can just email us and tell us how great we are at podcasting.
Or snail mail. Adam will be giving out his home address at the end of the show.
No, I will not. I'll be giving out yours because I can do that in editing and there's nothing you can do to stop me. All right. Oh. Tim says, longtime listener, first time email bagger in 2019. Is that a thing? Email bagger? That is now.
Apparently, we're going to celebrate that it's his first time in 2019, even though it's January. Way to go, Tim. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. So Tim says, my daughter came down the stairs in frantic emotion and said mom was listening to Marco Polo at 2x speed. I told her...
Way too fast.
Yeah, way too fast. I told her I do that all the time and have no problem because I listen fast. I don't know what that means, Tim, but we'll
stretch out. You just got to stretch out beforehand.
That's
you're
right.
Pull
You'll pull something. All right. Then he says, we had some fun and listened to you guys at half speed. And he says he recalls the episode when this phenomenon of humor was first discovered. He says it was your toddler son at the time. Is that that's true?
I think it was one of my kids hit the button on the phone.
Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah. But I think it was an older son, not a toddler. But
yeah, I don't remember. I've got three of them, and I get confused.
Yeah, that's true. If it was my son, it'd
be might have
easier.
Been my daughter. I don't know.
Yeah, it was my son. It'd be easy. I've only got one. Would you mind doing your best impression of yourselves at 1/2 speed? We will then speed it up to 2x and see if you sound normal. All right, Matt.
Sound normal. Yeah. Hey, spoiler alert. We never sound normal.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a relative term, right? We're grading on a curve here. All right, so Matt, I would like you to, I don't know, what do you need to say at half speed?
You ready?
Here Declaration of Independence?
9 in the theater, shit nanny. But did you just call me a nanny? Yes! That was a ninny thing to say.
Okay.
He asked for an impression, not for you to play back some of our podcasts.
You just call me a ninny? That's the best line in half speed we've ever had on the show. Did you just call me a ninny?
Yes.
And you responded with, yes, I did
call you a ninny because you are one. It also kind of sounds like Agent Smith from The Matrix. Not that I've seen that movie, as we previously discussed.
Listen, it sounds like 50% of the people I ran into on the street on my mission.
Yeah. I'd imagine that's probably so.
Hey.
So Tim says this. P.S. Whoever enjoys this portion of the podcast, Tim is now speaking to you, fellow listeners. You have to make a donation to support the podcast. You won't be able to look at yourself in the mirror with a clean conscience otherwise. Or should I read that in 2x speed? Whoever enjoys this has to make a donation to support the podcast. You won't be able to look at yourself in the mirror with a clean conscience otherwise.
You won't be able to look at yourself in the mirror with a clean conscience otherwise. There you go. Speed that up. How do you like them apples?
I think this could be one of our worst entrances ever. Or maybe our best.
I can't wait to speed this up tomorrow and listen to it.
All right. Well, you let me know how it goes. Matt, let's go to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
I thought you were going to do that slowed down. I thought you were going to try that slowed down.
No. Thought about it, but I got this throat thing. I don't think I can roll with it.
I get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, men's volleyball remains undefeated after a sweep this weekend. They get this week off before they head to Santa Barbara to play UCSB. Are they the Anteaters? I can never remember who the Anteaters are.
No, I think they're the Banana Slugs.
They're the Banana Slugs. Dang it. I know, I always mess that up. Women's basketball, Matt, all right? They have won 10 straight games, undefeated in conference play, including a victory last Thursday against then-ranked number 13 Gonzaga. And great performances. They are on a roll. They only have one game this week, Saturday at San Diego at the Jenny Craig Pavilion. So good luck to the women's basketball team as they go for their 11th straight victory.
And quick correction, UCSB, are they Gauchos?
Gauchos. Who's the Banana Slugs?
It's U.S. Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
UC Santa Cruz. UC Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz. All right.
The Banana Slugs.
Banana Slugs.
Not to be confused with actual bananas. That it will just make
or
you
Or actual slugs. And Gauchos, that's a pretty good name, though. Gauchos is pretty good. I'll go with, I like Gauchos. All right, Matt. Now, this is about half of this podcast is probably going to be about the NFL playoffs. So,
because nobody's talking about anything else right now.
No, nobody's talking about anything else. So let's start with the Saints game, which had a BYU player in it. Of course, Taysom Hill scored a touchdown on a pass, a two-yard touchdown pass. He also was on the field, Matt, on almost probably, I would say, down the stretch, half of their offensive plays in overtime and the fourth quarter. Pretty amazing when you think about it, when the guy started the year as kind of a gimmick, and now he's actually just one of the playmakers they use on offense, right?
Pretty cool. He's really made a name for himself.
But unfortunately, that's not the storyline from the Saints game, Matt. Dan Roach on Facebook had this to say. You can join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. Dan says, has anybody seen the WCC refs and the officiating crew from the NFC title game in the same room at the same time? Just saying, #facebag, #tweetbag, #climbonin. Matt, I think he's got a point. I haven't seen him in the same room.
I've not seen him in the same room, and the officiating was bad.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it was bad the whole game, to be honest, because I didn't watch the entire game, and I don't remember thinking it was bad. That call, though, is pretty bad. And the worst part about it is it was a cool, very entertaining game. We had two overtime games in the championship weekend for the first time ever. And yet, the thing that's being talked most about is a absolutely botched playoff, absolutely botched pass interference call. I mean, that's not good, right? That's bad.
I mean, that's like that is up there. It's got to be maybe the worst non-call on pass interference I've ever seen, like in terms of how blatant it was.
Well, and especially at the pro level, right? I've seen that happen in college a few times, and it's usually because you have an inexperienced ref that's out of position, right? So they couldn't see it. This ref was
that guy was standing right
there
by the pylon.
Like, I have no idea why he didn't.
What was he looking at?
I don't know what he was looking at. Clearly not at the not at the Rams player knocking the Saints player down before the
I'll
ball
tell you
got
what
there.
What he was looking at was the over under or whatever it was he was looking at. Conspiracy theory alert. Conspiracy alert.
Stop it. He just made a terrible call and should get a new job.
Made a terrible call and a good bet.
Okay. So the scenario would have been first down and goal inside the 5, right? Inside the 5 or inside the 10?
It was inside the 5, inside the five. With enough...
Where they basically could have run it down and kicked a field goal as time expired.
And then booked tickets to Atlanta.
Correct. Is it in Atlanta again this year, Super Bowl?
It is. Huh. It is. Huh. It is indeed.
So
I almost texted you today because I started looking at pricing for Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah, we tried that when it was in Minneapolis, where I live there.
Yeah.
The tickets are insanely expensive. So anyway,
price of $3,000 last I checked. It's a bargain.
It's a bargain. How can the NFL every offseason seems to be courting some controversy around a play call in the playoffs? It's just not a good look, right? Is it just that hard to ref in the NFL, or do they have an issue? I mean, people are going to ask about full-time refs again, I'm sure, but what do you think?
I think they have an issue. I think full-time refs is something that will help, but I don't know how you fix this, right? Because the argument that I've heard a lot of people, I think the two most popular things people are saying today about that particular call are, one, this Rule 17, Section 2A, Line 11, or whatever it is, where the commissioner can, if something's really calamitous, or whatever the word, I think it says the word calamitous in there, that he can step in and he has some things he can do, right? Make them replay the game from that point forward and whatever. Or make this reviewable. I don't like either of those options, to be honest. The Saints absolutely got robbed here. But the last 2 minutes of every half have become a total review fest. It's the problem I have with college basketball, where it's a free throw contest at the end. And like it's like everything's getting reviewed and teams are trying to run a 2-minute drill and do these things, and then all of a sudden somebody who's out of timeouts gets an extra timeout because you got to take 3 minutes to review something and figure out if it was a catch or not. And the only way you can do that is you got to get a lawyer involved because there's words in the rules of a catch, and you got to litigate the whole thing. I don't know what the solution is. Is making this reviewable the solution, or now we're going to just review every single play in the last 2 minutes of a game?
So
I don't know.
So I don't know either.
What do? You roll? You get in your DeLorean and you make them play the last 2 minutes.
No,
of the
you can't
game
do
over?
That. You can't do that. I mean, that doesn't even. I know people have been talking about that. It doesn't even make any sense. I mean, as terrible as that call was, the review would have. I mean, the review would have turned it right as a pass interference. Right? Say you could review.
Well, because and that was really blatant.
Because it was blatant.
So yeah.
So here's what I think they should do. But I don't know if this is really doable, is you stop doing they have to go over and look at the replay, right? You go to the college thing where you have a ref in the booth that does it. And here's the deal with it in the last 2 minutes. If it's super obvious, right, which is what it's supposed to be anyway, which some of the calls that went both ways in the Rams-Saints game and the Pats-Chiefs game, some of them, I looked back and I go, was that really that clear to overturn, right? Like, did you actually have video evidence that overturned it or not, right? Like, it should be like, take you 2 seconds because either it's clear or it's not done, right? You don't have to look at 18 angles with blown up stuff, right? Like, it's either, and in that case, you could have fixed it. But I'm with you. I mean, the problem is going to be, are you going to be replaying every play in the last 2 minutes of a big game? I don't know. That seems like not a good solution.
The muffed recovery that wasn't. Right? They had 14 angles showing that the ball didn't touch Edelman.
Oh, well, yeah, unless you're a Chiefs fan.
But if you looked at this angle, well, from this angle, it looks like it might have touched his thumb. But from this angle, it clearly doesn't touch his thumb, but it looks like it might have touched his arm. But from this angle, it doesn't look like it touched his arm, but it might have touched his leg. But from this angle, it didn't show. You know, it's insane. And they go circling around this thing. And then when they decide to overturn a call on any of these, now they got to figure out where the ball's supposed to be and how much time's supposed to be on.
But again, all that should be done by an official in a booth, so they don't have to walk over. And he just sends it down. Like, guys, the ball's got to be on the 38. We need a minute. And they don't need to announce it in the thing. That was the best part in the Pats-Chiefs game was game clock is correct. Why are you telling anyone
what
that?
Was that all
he
about?
He did it twice. He did it twice. So anyway, the Saints got robbed. It stinks. It should be the Saints in the Super Bowl. The Rams are a great team, though, so it's not as if. I mean, it was a great game marred by a terrible call. Related to this, because of Taysom Hill, the Cougar Insiders podcast on Deseret News last week after we recorded, they talked about, was Taysom Hill properly utilized at BYU? You and I have talked about this before, but since it came up, I thought I'd bring it up. Matt, should Taysom Hill have been used differently while he was at BYU?
Where else would you put him other than to get the ball in the hands of the greatest athlete on your team?
Well, you should have him blocking punts, right? Returning kicks? No, that's just stupid. Come on, he should have been quarterback.
Go back and look at his. Yeah, he should have been quarterback and used the way that he was.
Yeah,
running the football and throwing the throws that he could make. Now remember, guys, like he's thrown. You know, he had at least one that I can think of pretty deep completion this season with the Saints. But remember, he struggled a little bit on deep throws.
Yep, not his
On timing routes and so, but he's not a running back.
Well, he could have been a running back, but here's the thing: he could have been a running back. He could have been a wide receiver. He could have been a defensive back. Could have been a linebacker. I mean, he's that good of an athlete. The answer is he was utilized as a quarterback, which is exactly how he should have been utilized in college. And you weren't going to have your quarterback returning freaking kickoffs, right? Like, I get what people are saying, but in the end, who's more valuable to the Saints, Drew Brees or Taysom Hill?
Right, I mean, come on.
Right? It's the starting quarterback is way more valuable than what Taysom Hill is to the Saints, as much fun as it is to watch Taysom. So, going back and trying to say, oh, maybe BYU should have used him differently, that's fun, but it can't be serious, right? Because if it's serious, it's weird. So
maybe as a running back, but who would have been the quarterback on that team?
Tanner Mangum, at least for part of it.
Strong point.
Yeah. The Pats-Chiefs game, you had two BYU alums who both had really good games.
Great games.
Sorensen with an interception and a... he had something else too, right?
Wasn't the second interception. Oh no, it was the big stop.
Oh, it was the big stop on the stop. Yeah, yeah. Comes in and holds his legs.
It was an amazing
play.
Great job by Sorensen.
It
infuriated me, but it was a great play.
Vannoy had two sacks, and then he almost had a strip fumble sack that Mahomes then turned into like a 15-yard rushing gain. Mahomes is amazing, by the way.
That's the Van Noy special. Mahomes is a future Hall of Famer.
I mean, he is really good. And to think this was his first year starting, and I because of my new job, I've got a lot of friends now in Kansas who are Chiefs fans, many of whom are not very happy right now. But they're going to be here next year, right? I mean, they're a young team.
They're going to be good for a long time.
They're
going to
be good for a long time. Unlike the Saints, I'm worried for the Saints because the Saints have some salary cap issues. Drew Brees could turn into a pumpkin at any moment. I hope he doesn't because he's so much fun to watch. But you know,
it'd be very weird for a human being to turn into a pumpkin.
Yeah, it would be weird. It would be weird. But it's happened before. Look at Peyton Manning.
that's true. It happened real quick.
Very fast. But anyway, they have... very bright future. That's not going to make any Chiefs fan feel better today, right? Because they want to win and probably think they deserved to win that game. But Vannoy was a force and looked really good in that game. Our brother Don on Twitter at DP Mangum says, "Adam, are you going to pick a Rams victory?" I am. I'm still going to pick. I honestly think the Chiefs were a better team, and the Pats just had a better game yesterday. And because of the overtime rules, which we'll get to in a second, they got to the ball last. But I think the Chiefs are a better team. I do. I think Reed might have been outcoached a little bit by Belichick and company yesterday. But not much. I mean, it was a close game.
And I don't know that you get much more even.
Well, it's that Chiefs dude doesn't line up offsides and interception ends it, right? I mean,
right.
It was a crazy game. And quite frankly, if you didn't care who won yesterday, because we're recording this on Monday night, if you don't care who won, it was a highly entertaining day of football, right?
Like great.
If you didn't have anybody in there. So Randy Whittle has, before we get to overtime, Randy Whittle says on Facebook, "Though I hated to see the Pats win." Hey, whoa, Randy. Hates a strong word.
You know what? We don't use that word.
You don't use that word in your house?
No, that's not a good word. That's a bad word.
Yeah, I hate it when people use that word. I love seeing Vannoy dominate. Do you have any NFL teams, past or present, that you only followed because of BYU alumni but otherwise despised? This one is really easy for me. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm intrigued because I don't know that I have one. I don't know that I have a good example of this.
San Francisco 49ers. Steve Young.
You otherwise despised them?
I couldn't stand Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. And all of the Niners. Blah.
Oh, that's bizarre. I loved the Niners back in the day.
No, I
had a Steve Young jersey. I had 49ers hats and t-shirts. I loved the 49ers.
As soon as Steve Young retired, I went back to not liking the 49ers, and I still don't like them.
I liked them. Once Steve Young was gone, I was no longer a 49ers fan, but I was all in on the 49ers when Steve Young was there. So I followed them because of the BYU alumni, but I didn't otherwise despise them. I guess you otherwise despised
them.
Yeah,
I didn't like them as a kid. I didn't like Montana. I mean, I respect him now as an adult, as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, right? I mean, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, one of the greatest. I mean, not the greatest.
Well, no,
one of the
Tom
greatest,
Brady's the greatest. We know that. Two Pats homers. That's what everyone wants to hear. That's why people are so excited about this podcast, is who doesn't want to talk about two Pats fans talking about – who doesn't want to listen to two Pats fans talking about the playoffs. But anyway – so Matt, we got a couple of overtime questions. Our brother Don asked about it, and then Derek McKay on Twitter at @DERR_McKay says, "Okay, I'm happy the Pats won." Oh, good. We have somebody else who's happy the Pats won.
So am I, Derek.
"But with how Casey's offense was rolling at the end, it really felt like that the winner was decided by the coin toss. Could you do a bit of a pros cons of the NFL OT rules versus the NCAA OT rules?" Taylor Jackson adds on Facebook, "Do you hate the NFL overtime rules as much as I do? College does it right. Sad to end a game where Mahomes doesn't touch the ball. That game probably came down to the coin toss." So, Matt, I'll give it to you this way. If you could just pick one, would you pick the current NFL overtime rules or the NCAA overtime rules?
I have to pick one?
You have to pick one of those two systems. We'll get to what you think the ideal would be here in a second.
I'll take the NCAA rules.
I will also take the NCAA rules. Now, what do you think the NFL rules should be?
So, can I lead my response by saying I don't hate the OT rules? I don't hate the NFL overtime rules.
You seriously? Oh,
I don't hate it.
They're gross. They're
do you know what? Do you know what the do you know what statistically what the odds are that the Patriots would come down and score a touchdown and win that game on a single drive? It's less than 20%.
Yeah, it's slow. Yeah, it's slow.
Right. So this thing about it was the winner's decided by a coin toss, and I'm not picking on Derek because I've heard this a billion times today.
And Taylor. Like, Taylor just, and Derek both said it.
That's not just not true. And Brian Keel went on this whole thing about, can you imagine going to overtime in the NBA and LeBron James doesn't come on the field? It's a false equivalency because the sports are just so different. And you're also completely discounting a whole faction of the team of which Brian Keel was formerly a part. It's called defense.
Right. Right? No, absolutely. Like, the Chiefs can stop them
from scoring the touchdown, and you can hold them to a field goal or get the ball back, and you are in it. This is a team sport that takes at least 22 people, right? So this whole thing about, oh, well, Mahomes should get his shot too. No. This wasn't the Fighting Bradys against the Fighting Mahomes. Anyway, all right. Now, let me come back originally to your question.
No,
so what
no.
do I think okay. the NFL OT rule should be?
Yes. Okay. Do you want me to go first now that you got your rant
you
out
go
of
first?
Your system?
I got to calm
down. Nice. That was
a
nice rant. As the professional ranter here, I approve. You get my stamp of approval there. To me, there's obviously the one everyone's talking about is everybody gets a chance to get the ball, right? And that is fair. I think it's much easier in the playoffs. You time it. It's 15-minute quarter, and you just do it like every other frickin' quarter. I don't understand why it's so hard in the playoffs. I get why in the regular season they don't want to do that, right? Because this is a sport where injuries are very common, it's very intense. You get to that far into a game, and there's safety and other quality issues, right? In the playoffs, just make it a quarter. I don't understand why this is hard, right? And if you go to a second overtime, you go to a second overtime, right?
But you know what they do in baseball when you get into 15 innings of a game? Like, now you're deep into your pitching rotation. This is something that football teams don't want to wrap their heads around, right? Is, look, you got to play a fifth quarter this week. You better have a good backup quarterback. Maybe you put your starting quarterback on a pitch count. Maybe you put people on a snap count. Now depth all of a sudden matters in these deep games. I don't even know. I'm not totally against playing a complete fifth quarter or a half of a fifth quarter as an overtime in the regular season.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily against that either. But I think in the playoffs it's a very simple fix. And it's not this, if you kick a field goal first, then the other team gets it. I mean,
it sounds like Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin ball. Like every time they explain it and the ref's like, okay, so, but if he kicks his field goal from the happy spot, then it's worth 4 points.
I mean, it,
but
it's,
if he kicks it from the green slime zone, we're going to dump slime on all of your linebackers, and they're going to be extremely slippery.
Okay, now you're just saying weird stuff.
Nickelodeon, you can't do that on television.
Oh, thank
like,
you
what
for
are the rules?
Yes, thanks for the early 90s reference. That's what everyone was waiting for.
Double dare. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know what you're even talking about anymore.
Nickelodeon as a kid, come on.
They I'm older than you, remember that. And yes, I of course watched those shows.
I watched all the same garbage.
Yeah, we watched the same shows. There was one television in the house. So here's the thing. I like the NCAA overtime. It's not football like the rest of the four quarters are, but it's really exciting, right? And I think it matches the college game well in that it keeps you from having these long drives, right? And it keeps it very, very thrilling. I think the NFL could do something like that if it wanted to, and I prefer the NCAA overtime rules to the current NFL overtime rules, but I think the NFL would just be better served by having a fourth quarter and time it. I mean, who would have objected yesterday to another 15 minutes of Pats and Chiefs?
Stupid people.
Who would have objected
right?
I mean, to another 15 minutes of Rams and Saints? Right?
I don't know. Those referees seem to be in a hurry to get that one over with.
Yeah, maybe the refs. But I'm just saying, like, you give the Saints a whole quarter, maybe they win that one. Maybe the Chiefs win that one, right? Because to Derek's point and I think Taylor's point, Mahomes was on fire, right? Like, that sidearm throw, like,
and the no-look throws, the kid is amazing.
Who makes that throw? Like,
he's amazing.
I was blown away, right? And I know that a lot of people will harp on calls in the Pats game, too. I don't know that the officiating was great in that game either. There was the phantom hand of the helmet call, and
that was terrible. And that just and that
it was like, a terrible anyway. Call. It was a terrible.
And
call.
As a Patriots fan, I hate that Brady got that call.
Yeah, because
people now want me to defend it. I can't defend that. That was stupid. That ref never should have thrown that flag. But, you only throw the flag if you see the hand hit the helmet, and he clearly didn't because he was it was like it 6 inches away.
Because it didn't hit the helmet. Like, but here's the thing.
It wasn't
on
even
that
close.
Exact same play, there was no pass interference on the sideline. They got to pick between the two penalties, right? There was no pass interference on the sideline. Jackson had inside position and played it perfectly. I mean, and then the pick play, right, as well. I just thought the refs, unfortunately for the NFL, the refs weren't great in either game, right? But
and see, and I hate it when that becomes the story.
Yeah, it's a terrible. But here's the thing. I don't know what you do, like we said before. Anyway, we're how many minutes into this podcast and hardly talked about BYU? 30 minutes in. Huh. All right, let's talk about BYU-related things.
I'm just going to make one comment about NCAA overtime rules.
Sure, sure.
I agree with you. It's exciting. It's great. But it's not a football game. I have the same issue with penalty kicks in soccer, right? Like or a shootout in hockey.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's
not the
you've
game.
You've changed
it's
the
it's
rules
a
of the sport.
Skills competition at that point, yeah, and it's not the game. And so I'm all in with you on a full just play a
just
quarter.
Just play a quarter. It's easy. I don't understand why it's complicated. Like
the weird thing about the last night, for example, they were going to play until one of those teams was ahead, right?
Yeah.
So why do they have a clock running? Like, what? Who cares? The clock was completely irrelevant.
Yeah, you just need a play clock, right? You don't need a game clock. I know, it's weird.
Nope.
It's weird. In the regular season, I get it because it can end as a tie. In the playoffs, I don't understand.
It's not going to end in a tie. You don't need it. What's the game clock for? It's just another thing
so
for the referees to pause and review.
Yeah, you can break and hand out orange slices.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what it's
Here's
for.
Capri Suns, everybody.
Here's a Capri Sun. Delicious.
Thanks for coming out. Don't squeeze it when you put the straw in. It squirts.
Yeah, you know what? I was always excited when the person brought, like, Ding Dongs instead of orange slices.
Hey, tangent. Have you
amazing?
Do you have Mod Pizza where you're at? Mod Pizza, is that a thing
across
the country?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so
no, it's not by us, but I've been to a Mod Pizza.
The no name cake.
No, I haven't had the no name cake.
It's like a Ding Dong was the like chocolate cake with the filling in the middle, right? Like the round.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're homemade, dude.
Oh, no name cake.
They're amazing.
I'll have to check that out next time I'm there. All right.
It's gonna change your life.
Dave Broderick on Facebook asks, do you think that Andy Reid's latest... I can't finish. Do you think that Andy
Reid's... Do you need me to take it from here?
Yeah,
do you need me to take it from here? All right, so Dave Broderick asks, I've never read a Tweetback question. I'm nervous.
That's not true. You've read one before.
That's true. One time.
Like one time.
So Dave Broderick, I can't, I'm not, I just called him Dave Broderick.
Yeah, nice job.
Dave Broderick asks, do you think that Andy Reid's latest failure to reach the Super Bowl could propel him to the head coaching spot at BYU? Hashtag one can dream. Hashtag face bag. Hashtag Matt is attractive. All right. So
wait a second. There are so many reasons why you don't read Tweetbag questions. You showed all of them in that one. Drave Broderick and hashtag Matt is attractive. Like, this doesn't even make any sense.
What? The fact that I'm attractive doesn't make sense?
No.
I'm not the only person who thinks that, by the way. All right.
Okay,
so.
Two people. You and your wife. The list is small.
She's never said that. So, anyway. So, do I think that Andy Reid's latest failure
is
the Super Bowl? This is a joke, right? Yes. And so the answer is yes. Yes, it will.
So, Matt, now's a good time to remind people that we are on Patreon.
Yes, we are.
You can go to patreon.com/riseandshout and support the podcast. We are not requiring this because, number one, we have no power to actually require it. And number two, you know, you guys can listen to the podcast as however you'd like and don't have to pay us. But if you would like to, you can go and join Chase Blyle, Dan Roach, Don Mills, Justin Sweeney, and Stuart Clive, who are all patrons of the podcast. So
that's an illustrious group.
That is an illustrious group. Chase Blyle, I believe, is the newest member to the Patreon club. So welcome, Chase. Welcome. And it's really simple. It's right now a $2 a month $2 a month membership. After that, at some point, we're going to add some other levels where there'll be some prizes and different things thrown in there. So stay tuned for that. All right, Matt, men's basketball. Thursday looked okay, and Saturday looked, I want to say, the worst they've looked all season.
It was
bad, both offensively and defensively. Now, some of Dave Rose's comments after the game about these things are fixable, some of the issues they're having on both sides of the ball, I'm not disagreeing with him that they're fixable. I think they are fixable. I think there's enough talent on the roster to be better than they've been this year, though I don't know if there's enough talent to really be, you know, as we talked about last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, neither of us believe they're going to have any reasonable chance of making the tournament. Matt, is Rose losing a step? Do you feel like Rose is losing a step, or is just this, because this is several years in a row now, right? We're not talking about one-off season. We're now talking about a kind of a pattern.
Well, I go to like this, what he said, right? He says there are things that we can fix, but we got in a situation where offensively they had us scouted really well and they took us out of things. Now, when I look at that statement and think about what he's saying there, you could retranslate as saying there are things that we can fix, but basically we got out coached.
Yeah, right? We couldn't make adjustments to overcome.
They figured it out.
Yeah,
and they forced us out of anything that we wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's not good. And I don't know that any, you know, you're having to prepare for both these teams back to back and all of this business. Like, if they had you scouted really well and we're going to force you out of that stuff, it didn't matter how much time you had to prepare.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you were going to get beat. And that also being said, I think it's important to understand that USF is a good team. Like, that was going to be a tall order to win that game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Especially on the road. Especially as the second game. Yeah, especially in the second game of a road trip. It was going to be a tough game to win. But some of those quotes rub me the wrong way, I'll be honest. They feel like, and the whole, like, well, these, you know, playing St. Mary's and playing San Francisco at the back end of these road trips is tough. It sounds like excuses. Like, I get that that's true, right? That it is on the back end of the road trip. You'd rather see San Francisco or St. Mary's at the front end, right? On one of those road trips. But they kind of rub me the wrong way. I'm not advocating firing Rose or any of that stuff because he's earned a pretty long rope on this thing. But I will say this is lining up to be the worst team he's had, period, right? His first season, at least by advanced statistics, this is worse. The two teams the last 2 years were marginally maybe better than that team, first-year team in 2005-06. This one is not. It is clearly worse than that team. And, you know, that can change, right, because the season still has quite a few games in it, the rest of the conference, regular season and then a tournament, conference tournament. That being said, barring some significant change, this is going to be his worst team, and three of his four worst teams will have been in the last 3 years, and it'll be 4 years in a row not making the NCAA tournament. It's not good, man. It's looking bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's just a tough season to watch, to be honest. And we don't have a single tweet bag question about basketball. No one's asking us about it. I mean,
nobody wants to talk about it.
I'm guessing a lot of the folks that are listening did not, even if they're basketball fans, did not stay up and watch that game on Saturday night against San Francisco.
You know what was funny is I was at a birthday party for a friend of ours, and it was like a big party. They had rented a place out. They had a DJ. Like, it was like this big, it was a big thing, big throwdown, right? And at one point, you know, you look over and there's two or three guys that are sitting at a table. It looks like they're just kind of staring into space, looking at the table. And I went and stood behind them. They were watching basketball on a phone. And it was just as the game was tipping off. It was, you know, but so there some people watched it, but I think they were choosing, you know.
Well, I watched choosing it, not right. Like, there are people that are watching. I'm not saying that. I mean, three mediocre seasons in a row, and or maybe less than mediocre by some estimations. Depends on how you mark that. But it's just people start losing interest, right? You got a lot of else yeah. things going on in your life. You're not going to prioritize, especially in our case, right? It started 10 o'clock in Central Time. It's the problem with being in this Pacific League, right, where everybody's in the Pacific time zone besides us. So, you know, anyway, I mean, not to be Debbie Downer here, but I don't see anything turning around here. We're going to lose to San Francisco again at home, probably. We're going to get beat by St. Mary's this week and Gonzaga in the week following. We're going to get beat by Gonzaga again, and we're probably going to drop a couple of other conference games along the way. And
we'll drop at least one of, like, those three. All right, those three teams are going to beat us twice, and then somebody else is going to beat us.
Yeah, for sure, and maybe more than one, yep. Because we just haven't shown the consistency to be able to do that. I hope I'm wrong, and certainly I wish for more for Yoli Childs and TJ Oz, because as we talked about last week and the week before, they're good players, right? They're good players, and if they had been on good BYU teams, they were good enough to be major contributors on those teams, right? But unfortunately, they're just not on one of those tourney-bound teams. So, Matt, let's talk about football. In the Deseret News this week, there was an interesting article, Kalani Sitake talking about the new transfer portal, which... it boggles the mind that this didn't exist before, right? Like, when you transferred before, basically it came down to this. You told your coach you were transferring, and then you had to, like, go and tell everybody you were transferring. Like, you know, it took till 2018, 2019 for the NCAA to look out for these.
No, Adam, they were concerned students. For the welfare of the student-athlete.
Oh, yeah, yeah, very concerned.
They'd hate for every school to be contacting him. And making him, you know, giving
him the best opportunity. Yeah, the best opportunity that the student athlete
he's got finals. He's got finals, Adam. Yeah. He doesn't have time for all of that.
That's right, he doesn't. Okay. That's right, he doesn't.
But I'm just glad. I'm really happy about the portal. I don't know if you've seen it, but it looks exactly like the telephone booth in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I thought you were going
to go in, shut the door, you hit some buttons, and George Carlin comes out, and he's like, all right, what school do you want to see next? Next thing you know, you're bowling with Napoleon Bonaparte. It's an amazing piece of technology. The NCAA has really outdone themselves this time.
They've really stepped it up. And then in that same article that, of course, they are looking for a new offensive line coach with Ryan Pugh moving on to, where did he go again? Troy? Troy is the offensive coordinator, and you know, Sitake complimented Ryan Pugh and then said they're going to look for somebody similar to him. And I believe, honestly, Sitake...
Hire Reynolds. Are they just going to hire Reynolds? What are they going to do?
No. Grimes will go find another guy like Pugh. That's my guess. An up-and-comer, young offensive line coach. That's my guess, but I don't have any inside knowledge on that. But, you know... But anyway, they'll find somebody. Speaking of the transfer portal, Vanquish the Foe, Robbie McCombs on Vanquish the Foe had a couple of little tidbits with Squally, Hadley, and Riley Burt, who's said that he's transferring. There's a couple of names that McCombs brings up that might be interesting to BYU. The first one is a graduate transfer from Rice named Emmanuel Esupa. And he played... he was recruited by A.J. Stewart to play at Rice. That's why there's a potential connection there. He played quite a bit last year for Rice until injuries kind of sapped his effectiveness. And I mean, as you and I have talked about before, they need depth at running back, so this is good news, right?
It's great news. I mean, this is what we need. We need a guy with a little bit of playing experience at the Division I college level, and we need him now.
Yeah, and we need him now. I mean, he didn't light up the world at Rice, but he also, I don't know that it had a great offensive line, right? And hard to light up the world when you're, and I don't think he's like the game-changing running back. If he came in, I think Katoa's probably still RB1, right? But you need depth. And speaking of depth, McCombs also brings up transfer out of Florida State, Amir Rasul. He was a four-star guy coming out of high school, a top 10 running back out of his recruiting class in 2016. He's hardly played at Florida State, so I don't have any opinion on his abilities as a college running back. And we also don't know, at least McCombs in the article says, they're not sure if this is a graduate transfer. He has a year of eligibility. He has his redshirt year left, so he could also be a regular transfer. I'm hoping it's graduate because, again, we could take both
That's
of these
guys. That's the
only
kind we need right now. We need somebody for depth in 2019.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, no, I mean, we could use a guy for 2020. We're going to have a depth problem then, too. But yes, yes.
Oh, man, they just keep coming, these depth issues. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. That's true. But anyway, besides running back, is there any other position you'd like to see them going through that transfer portal and bringing in Socrates?
Socrates.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just completing your reference
gold.
From earlier.
I love what you did there. Yeah,
thanks. Thanks.
Hey, what did he say at the Hall of Presidents? He said, "Welcome to the Hall of Presidents." This is Abraham Lincoln's famous quote.
Okay. Get back on track here, buddy. Get back on track. What other position besides running back? Receiver. I was thinking the same thing. Maybe linebacker?
Yeah, maybe linebacker too.
You said you were a little concerned about depth there.
If you look at like what happened in the Utah game, right? Like both Kafusis go down and we struggled. So maybe we do have something to think about in terms of depth at the linebacker spot. We have a lot of young wide receiver talent. It might not kill us to have somebody with a little bit of experience.
Yeah, yeah. True. So that's true. That is very true.
And what about quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks. We don't need any quarterbacks.
What if Wilson gets hurt?
Hall.
Okay.
Critchlow.
Oh, boy. You just said Critchlow. Okay.
There's nothing wrong with Critchlow. He did fine last year. He's not a game breaker. But if he's the third guy on your roster, you're fine from a depth perspective, I think. I wouldn't waste any time going after a transfer quarterback. Because, I mean, there's people close to the program who've told me that they think Hall is going to push Wilson for the starting job in spring. So I'm not worried about depth there, personally. But apparently you disagree.
I disagree. But then again, I also once said that I wouldn't be surprised if we got a new defensive coordinator this offseason, which was just horse feathers.
That was horse feathers. Well, Matt, let's talk about the college football playoffs because Spencer Thurman has an idea.
Playoff?
He says his solution for the college playoffs is to reorganize the FBS, or maybe call it something else, and take the best 72 teams and create four geographically oriented conferences. Each conference has divisions of 9 teams each. Each division plays everyone else in their division. And blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to go through all of his things. But basically, he wants to reorganize college football. And he says at the end, and then it does an 8-team playoff after people get done with their conference championship games. It'll never happen, but man can dream, right? Hashtag Facebag. Matt, I wrote an article very similar. I did a little differently. I did 12-team conferences. Was it 12 or 14? Do you remember that blog post I wrote? Like this was like 6 or 7 years ago for either Vanquish of the Foe or Loyal Cougars. I don't remember which one. Very similar concept, Spencer, of doing it geographically And it's a fun exercise, and it sets up a playoff really well, and it will never, ever happen in our lifetime.
Never in a million years.
Because it would require the conferences to give up being the power, right? Because in the other sports, they're not the power, right? In basketball, it's a funny thing, right? We talked about this, the WCC refs don't exist. There aren't conference officials, right, in other sports. Right, there's NCAA officials that go and usually they're doing the same games because it's geographic. But you know, but in football, it's Pac-12 officials, right? It's SEC officials. In football, the conferences rule, and unless it's going to benefit them and their member schools, I can't imagine the Power Five conferences doing anything like what Spencer is describing, even though I think it makes the most sense for college football to do exactly that, to split it up and do that. Matt, do you think it makes the most sense, or do you think that would ruin some of the appeal of the tradition of college football?
I think if you're smart about the way you break it up geographically, and I'm just going to use what Spencer put together here as an example, you can preserve a lot of the historical rivalries, historical games, and a lot of that, you know, by keep, you know, you keep what are the some of the big ones I looked for and what he put together, right? So Texas and Oklahoma, you keep them in the same division in the same conference, you know. Alabama, that one's tough because everybody hates Alabama, everybody wants to play them every year, right? But Florida, Georgia, I think you preserve some of the big rivalries that exist and allow teams the latitude with a couple of games outside of their division or outside of their conference to go and schedule those other teams. I think you may be onto something there. At the end of the day, if you really want to do this right, though, you do have to do something that is geographically based and gives a group, somebody out of each of those groups a shot. And the only part of what Spencer's put together here that I take issue with is if you've got if you've got these four conferences that are divided into two divisions, and you're going to have eight playoff spots that are basically the winners of each division, nobody's going to want to play a conference championship game. Because why? I mean, it doesn't do anything for me. I could go lose that conference championship game, and somebody gets hurt. Now I limp into my A-team playoff. Right, where what I really, if I'm trying to keep my eye on the prize, what I want is a national championship.
Well, I mean,
so there's some dynamic there, though, that will change the way some of this stuff is thought about and treated, because it will make the playoff, entry into the playoff and winning the playoff, the ultimate goal. And then, so do you send the rest of these teams to bowl games still afterwards? And how do people view those? And a lot of the, you know, you'll have, you start to see a lot of guys don't play in them anymore because they want to get ready for the draft. That would become a lot more common. So a lot of things would change about college football when we'd move to a system like this. But in terms of, if you just isolate, we're looking to determine who the best team in the land is, an approach like this does seem to make sense. But there's a lot of other baggage that comes along with anything, with whatever we suggest or come up with.
Well, and another thing is that this eliminates is just the luckiness of ending up in one of the Power Five conferences, right? If you're Vanderbilt or Duke, and people will argue, well, they're great in basketball, fine, but that's also all in our lifetimes, right? You know, it eliminates some of that and gives people everybody the same quote-unquote chance, right? And it also eliminates, but one of the biggest problems, he picked 72. There are 130 teams in the FBS. What do the other 60 teams go? FCS?
Relegation, baby.
Yeah, I think a lot of those schools that you left off, none of whom are quite, you know, are that interesting, really. You should have left Utah off, by the way. That would have been funny. But you know what I mean? There's a lot of issues, but I like the thought, and I've had very similar thoughts in the past on how you could reorganize this. I have the same thoughts about the NFL and Major League Baseball, that they could reorganize it, just like clean the slate and put it together the way it should be put together. But That's typically
and decide
not
whether or not
still.
You have a DH and just make everybody do it the same.
Of course you have the DH. It's silly.
Well, then
at
just
this point.
Everybody do it.
Everybody should have the DH. I get, I mean, the DH has been around longer than most of our listeners have been alive, right? Like, at this point, it's like, it's not even a new thing, right? And it's used at almost every level now, right? The DHs. Plus, I hate watching pitchers hit. I know the National League purists, I just hate watching. It's such a waste. Like, look at them bunt poorly. This was fun.
And get their fingers jammed up on a pitch, right?
Right, right, right. So, anyway, well, Matt, that's been a show.
Well, there you go.
If you like the show, you can support us at patreon.com/riseandshout. You can email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. I think we're going to be off next week, Matt. I think we're going to take a week off. So we're not going to preview the Gonzaga game. I feel really bad about that.
But you know what I feel worse about?
What?
Having to actually preview the Gonzaga game.
Yeah, yeah. How bad we're going to get beat by Gonzaga. How about this? I'll give you a little preview of the Gonzaga game. This is the best Gonzaga team they've ever had. And they're going to destroy us. How's that? There's your preview.
So do you remember in the movie Groundhog's Day when he gets to a place where he's like, it's pretty dark, and they ask him if he's going to do the forecast, and he says something like, it's going to be another 12 weeks of winter, and it's going to be dark, cold, and lonely, and it may never, and it may always be like that. I feel like that is my forecast for this game.
Yeah,
it's another 12 weeks of winter. It's going to be dark and cold and lonely.
There you go. There we go. We gave our preview. See? Look at that. If you held on to the end, you got a little extra nugget here at the end. A little extra nugget.
Nugget? What?
I don't know. You
extra dog treats?
You've said all the weird stuff today. I had to get one in.
I said a bunch of weird stuff
you
today.
You did say a bunch of weird stuff today, but that's all right. That's kind of your gig. All right, well, James. Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. If you like the show, of course, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever it is you get podcasts. Thanks again, and we will catch you next time.
Mr. Mistopheles hit the silver screen. Cats.
Go Cougars.
Mr. Mistopheles.
I don't even know what we were talking about. That was great. The slow motion.
You're ridiculous.